It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany, UK, Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we are, off and running on this fifth day of January, 2023. It's a fifth, all right. This is The Horn, headon.live, where you'll find us on the airwave tubes. That's where you go. If you'd like to be part of the merry, wet, madcap, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia extravaganza, that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live. 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, all time zones in between, and the great globe round, and whatever time it is, when you're listening to the podcast. Thank you for listening live. Thank you for listening to the podcast on whatever platform you choose. Pretty please. I'm asking for Brother Deacon Asa. Wherever you're listening, like it, subscribe to it, and leave some feedback. Brother Deacon Asa is just craving feedback. So much obliged if you would be so kind. Hi, I'm Robin. Broadcasting live from high atop a turned-over Lowe's bucket. No, you heard that right. Not kidding. The fabulous Horn Studio broadcast chair of excellence in broadcasting or whatever. Well, it went to its long home today, this afternoon, before I could do anything about it, so this is not particularly comfortable. It is literally a 5-gallon Lowe's bucket turned upside down with a couple of blankets, a rolled-up bathrobe, and a pillow on top of it. I am considerably lower than I usually am. I couldn't make unhappy noises like that unless I was sitting on top of a turned-over Lowe's bucket with some pillows, a rolled-up bathrobe, and a blanket on top. God, I will never forget the first time that I heard the Thorn in the Side Thursday, by the way, in case anybody's wondering. It's kind of blunt to be a thorn, but, well, it ain't comfortable. No, I'll never forget the first day I heard Mike Malloy say, God damn it, if it's not lice, it's bedbugs. Here we are. There's no let up. This is just something new. Hey. and you know, all this on top of watching the circus all day long. I think I'm ready for the weekend. It's a day early, but no, I'll be here tomorrow. Don't you worry. I may spend part of this program broadcasting standing up, but that's just weird. Thank you to Ralphs. Ralphs has, decided to play to again renew the votes for anybody but Kevin game. Feel free to join in If they go to another ballot this evening, God, how much humiliation can that pathetic wad of ego and little else, Kevin McCarthy, man of silly putty. Then again, you know, silly putty takes a licking and goes right back into. Yeah. Thank you, Lee. There's the captcha. Please check all boxes that have speakers in them. And there's two pictures of Kevin McCarthy, and they don't have checks. I think I'm getting a little punchy, but that's okay. We're just watching. We're just watching the Republic go to pieces. And now the maggots in their various forms are blaming the media. You're making America think that the government doesn't work. Honey, C-SPAN is just a camera. That's all. And Ralphs reminds us, Anna Paulina Luna, otherwise known as Anna Hava Nagila, has nominated Byron Donalds, and Lauren Bobblehead Boobert has nominated Kevin Hearn again. And they are going to a 10th ballot. And remember, about 7 days from now, their staff are going to stop getting paid. There's an old saying in Washington, D.C. Our buddy Steve in New York was a legislative aide there once. There's an old saying that the actual government of the United States of America is run by young people between the ages of 22 and 25. They're eager climbers, these young people are, and that's how come they pursue a job there in the Congress as legislative aides and phone answerers and various and sundry positions in House and Senate offices. And the fact of the matter is they're not well paid. It's real, and sometimes these aides will live together in like a rented house, you know, like 10 to a house. It's not unusual. And they do so because that's how they survive. And you know, they drink $9 drafts at Think Play. Well, the Republicans drink $9 drafts at the Union Pub, and the Democrat kids go over and drink $9 drafts at, oh, I don't know. It's one of my favorite pubs on Capitol Hill. But anyway, the pubs are as segregated between the parties as are anything else. Asa says, do it for Herb Cain. Yeah, the like and subscribe and comment. And adds, Kevin McCarthy was badly caucus blocked. That's a shame. Yeah. Well, I repeat what I've been saying for a while now. Gee. I hope it doesn't hurt too little. And Lee in New York adds, bad chair. Hey, Robin. Hey, Lee. The highs and lows, LOWE'S, of doing your own podcast. Yeah, we often talk about things that don't happen on other broadcasts in this country. Well, this is another one. I'll bet you I'm the only host conservative. Well, the right wingers don't ever have to worry about this. They just do the breaststroke through massive piles of money from right wing think tanks and dark money packs and whatnot. And yeah. But even on the progressive side, I bet I'm. But then again, it's fitting, isn't it? That a hillbilly elitist broadcaster on the air for 20 years, in her anniversary, 20th anniversary year, would be broadcasting live from atop a turned over Lowe's 5-gallon bucket with a rolled up bathrobe, a blanket, and a pillow on top. This is just too funny for human comprehension. But here we are. And I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, because every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So we start out with thanks to Ralphs, who just got us down to, let's see, ciphering. $237 for our fundraising goal this evening. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you so much. And there may even, I don't know if Ralphs is going to keep her competition going, but then this 10th ballot goes sideways, too. Thank you, Ralph, so much. This is fun. You're making it fun. Thank you to Kevin in Colorado Springs, one of our subscribers, for the fifth day of the month. And thanks as well to Kenda in Missouri. Hey, Kenda. Thank you so much. And huge thanks for the anonymous matching challenge last night. That takes a great deal of weight off of my petite dainty bio girl shoulders, and I appreciate it. Meanwhile, Ralphs reports, and Bobo is sitting there swishing her hair before she votes for Hearn. I saw something. Guess who have become fast friends, apparently? That would be Representative-elect Anna Pavlaguna Havanagila. And who? Yeah, right. George Santos. Oh, they've just been gabbing away, having a high old time. The Dubliner is one of them, but... yeah, the bars on the House side, the Dubliners won. But the tune in. It only took me a minute. TUNEINN, the tune in. Great food, generous pours, and unlike the place where the Republicans hang out, you know, the Union Pub, I've never seen a rat the size of a possum run under my table while being there. I'll never forget when we went over there for wings one time when we were working in D.C. Ferg was with me. He was a lot younger. Dad, was that a rat? And I said, it was either a rat, a possum, or a raccoon, and I don't want to find out if it's either of the other two. In reference to the old joke about little Johnny being asked to spell, and teacher knew that he was going to do something filthy, so she got all the way down to the letter R, and she thought, what in the world could little Johnny possibly spell with the letter R that would be filthy? So he's been raising his hand all the way through the alphabet, and the teacher finally calls on little Johnny and says, "All right, little Johnny, it's your turn." Little Johnny stands up, looks at the teacher, and says, "Rat, R-A-T, rat, great big goddamn rat with a dick this big." I thought of that joke the minute I saw the rat run under the table at the Union Pub, and, well, here we are, and it really, nothing's changed. Let me get started here and see what C-SPAN has on offer for this Thorn in the Side Thursday. You know, I can't really lean very well on it because I'll slide right off in the floor and bust my little tuchus. But somebody's going to have to go chair shopping. Once upon a time, Brother Deacon, you told me never to order a new chair without checking in with you first. Because Brother Deacon Asa apparently has some long experience dealing with computer workstation chairs. Well, Asa, that time is now. This really sucks. I only thought I hated the old chair. Wow, that's it. You're right. You're right. You think that's a deliberate choice, Rounce, or have they just given up? Because now they're on the 10th ballot, and they're not even bothering to put up the vote totals.
Emmer.
Oh, there's Virginia Double X Fox.
Escobar. Jeffries. Eschew. Jeffries.
We'll check in with a couple of minutes of this.
Jeffries. Estes. McCarthy. Evans. Jeffries. Ezell.
At some point, somebody on the Democrat side has to bring like a
Fallon.
Parcheesi board or maybe
Fallon.
A deck of cards for Pinochle or cribbage.
Beestra.
Cribbage would be good about now. Backgammon? Anybody Ferguson. For backgammon?
McCarthy.
Based on what Kat Kamick said yesterday. I think it would be perfectly appropriate if one of them broke out the little red cups and got a nice game of beer pong going.
Fitzpatrick, McCarthy.
Now, once again, the only thing C-SPAN's putting up is McCarthy does not have the votes. 11th speaker vote McCarthy. Possible today.
Fletcher, Jeffries, Flood, McCarthy. Foster, Jeffries.
So, wait a minute. We're missing something here. You know, let's see how it works with this.
McCarthy.
Hold on.
Lois Frankel. Jeffries. C. Scott Franklin. McCarthy. Frost. Jeffries. Fry.
How perfect that the song really picked up and got into it right as she got to Matt, it just gets worse.
Gallagher, McCarthy, Gallego, Jeffries.
All right, Robin, stop that.
Garamendi.
Just stop that.
Jeffries. Garbarino.
You know, we're getting to the point where, you know, back with like only six ballots, there were only 10 other or so other times in American history where the balloting had gone longer on this. They're rocketing rapidly toward the top. They've got, what, 1923 and 1855, something like that? Yeah, you're right. You're right. Stephen New York says D.C. rats. New York City rats got nothing on D.C. rats. Yeah, I think they're a lot fatter and happier in D.C. And tiddlywinks? Yes, tiddlywinks would work, Randy Radar. I know what. We need to settle this with a round of mumbledy peg. You know. Where they throw knives at each other's feet. I shouldn't be taking this so lightly. This is deadly in earnest. This is serious business. Live updates from the Speaker of the House, Vote News. Stephen New York, he's lost again. See, that's the thing, though. He can lose 10. He can lose 20. He can lose 30. He can lose 100. But he only has to win once. That's the way he's thinking. But who was... I forgot. What was his name? He's the representative from the 2nd District of Montanistan. I was surprised to find that Montana has two members of the House of Representatives. I didn't know we were counting cattle now. We've got two members here in West Virginia, but apparently they've got two members there in Montanistan, and this guy stood up and damnedest thing, by way of nominating Byron Donalds. Instead, and this was one of the maggots, you know, from the Burn It All Down caucus. Oh, there's Hava Nagila again. She does get around the room. Maybe she's seen the photos that are out there of her talking to George, if in fact his name really is George. Santos, if in fact his name really is Santos. Now see here, Captain Bat Guano, if that really is your name. No, the guy from Montana stood up and was allegedly nominating Byron Donalds. And as far as Byron Donalds goes, you got to take in. I thought that Cori Bush of Missouri did a really good job, because yesterday there was some applause in the chamber when Byron Donalds was nominated, and today I stand here in a historic moment in this chamber, in which a black man has been nominated by both parties to lead their respective parties. And everybody, yay! And he, we're not far from the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, and so it's time for the Republicans to prattle on about the only thing they ever know, they know that Dr. King ever said, that a man should be judged by the content of his character and not the color of his skin. And, oh, really, Margie? Really, Margie? A pale pink jacket and a black sequin shell? Honey. And by the way, I had a note from the folks who run the gay agenda. I've been told that as a blonde, I have unlimited ability to be catty. So I'm going to use that. Thank you. Thank you to the rules committee of the gay agenda, the LGBTQ plus agenda. Thank you. Hey, no, after all that foo-fraw, but wait a minute. Okay, this is good.
On behalf of four black girls who were murdered in the 16th Street Baptist Church of Paul by the
Jeffries.
A little hard to hear, but Representative Green has come up with a strong and proud statement every time he's voted. That time he said, in the memory of the four little black girls who were blown up in the 16th Street bombing of the 16th Street Baptist Church bombing, I vote for Hakeem Jeffries. That's good. That's very good. But anyway, there was a bunch of foo-fraw over Byron Donalds being nominated. And, you know, the guy's only been in the House of Representatives for two years. He is in no wise, and this has nothing to do with the color of his skin and everything to do with the content of his character and his length of service in the House. He is in no wise prepared to be Speaker of the House. Neither is AOC. Okay? I mean, that's... if this goes on, eventually they'll get around to nominating George Santos, I guess. But Cori Bush of Missouri was having none of it. She said she referred to Byron Donalds as a prop, which he fulfills the definition thereof. She tweeted on yesterday, she said, his nomination is not historic, and the fact that they're nominating him is, in fact, pathetic. For what it's worth, Donalds is not a historic candidate for Speaker. He's a prop. Despite being black, he supports a policy agenda intent on upholding and perpetuating white supremacy. His name being in the mix is not progress. It's pathetic. And she's not wrong. Of course, 1330WFIN.com, who are the hell they are, referred to her in the write-up as
a hard left progressive who supports defunding the police.
Oh, shut the up. Defunding the police does not mean not having police anymore. But we don't have to go through this, do we? It means sending mental health workers and social workers on calls with for people with having who are having behavioral health crises and, you know, maybe not murdering them for being in crisis. So, let's see, vote count. Oh, we finally got the vote count up. Donald's has 4, Kevin Hearn has 6, others have not 0, no one's voting present. And there's Byron Hakeem Jeffries voting for himself. Yay. I am, not sanguine that this problem's going to sort itself out, but somewhere down the road, we need to be aware that there is a possibility that this thing will be, will come to an end, because even though they're not the House of Representatives right now, even though the House of Representatives technically does not exist right now, and has no rules under which to operate, they can change the rules in midstream and say that the speaker can be elected by a mere plurality and not a majority of all of the votes for candidates that are cast. See, as I've said before, if this was democracy, Hakeem Jeffries would have long since become the Speaker of the House, because he has consistently, for 10 consecutive votes, been the leading vote-getter. But once again, we're not, democracy is more aspirational than operational. And the problem is, McCarthy, if they made it a plurality right now, well, Hakeem Jeffries would be the speaker. So once again, this is day 3 of the Republicans trapped in a Chinese finger trap. Lord. But I wanted to get back to what's his name, the guy from Montana. By way of ostensibly nominating Byron Donalds, he instead stood up and gave a mini filibuster about how government is broken. Now, anyone who has followed American government for, say, a minute and a half knows that the government's broken is one of the oldest right-wing campaign slogans going. Up there with "send a message to Washington" and other vacuous stupidities. We've got to have smaller government that responds to the... And so he went on a pissy little tirade all about how he and America, he's speaking for America is what he will. Only the thing is, he wasn't really speaking for America. And I kind of wondered if he was even speaking for Montana, because the guy had the damnedest Virginia Tidewater accent I've heard in a while. Yeah, I thought he was going to break down and invite us all to the cotillion or maybe the barbecue at 12 Oaks. But anyway, he went on and on and on about the broken government and how we need to fix government and how he doesn't. And what it boiled down to is he wants single vote bills, or he wants single issue bills brought forward, That seems to be something that these monkeys are on about. And I use monkeys as in terms of, you know, monkeys working a math problem like, you know, Scott in San Diego makes me giggle with. They are monkeys flinging poo in the monkey house. And there's 20 monkeys. I see stupid people, you know? Those are two different movies. 13 monkeys and then, you know, whatever. And Lord, they love to bring the camera back to Representative Anna Pavlaguna Habanagila.
Anna Pavlaguna, baby.
Oh, she voted. Yay. But this business of saying, and then he said,
and then on fly-in day,
because the folks back home are going to love to know there's a fly-in day,
which is usually Monday.
Thank you, Congressman.
Two people, the leader of our party and the leader of the other party, get together, and they go through and they agree on bills, and then they just come in and there's nobody else in the room, and they say without objection. And so that it's usually bills for like naming buildings and boats and things like that. And
but he objects to that. Without objection means that nobody in either side. So I guess these Republicans want to object to naming boats and buildings and bridges and shit.
The American people need to see us debating the big issues of the day.
What are they clapping for?
McCall. McCarthy. McClain.
Don't know what that was about.
McCarthy.
But the fact of the matter is they're vandals. They are barbarians who have gotten through the gates. You know, there was a book many years ago whose title was Barbarians at the Gates. And in this case, they've gotten through the gates, and they are now inside the Citadel. This is, well, these 20, without nearly the brains, are Odysseus and the handful of Greeks who were inside the Trojan horse, and everybody knew better, well, a lot of people knew better than to bring the Trojan horse inside the city gates of Troy. What was the line? Beware of Greeks bearing gifts. Yeah. But they brought it in anyway, and then they got out of the horse, and they were inside the citadel, and what did they do? They caused havoc, and they burned the city to the ground. Well, that's what a party does that hates the idea of government. And make no mistake, these Republicans hate the idea of government. They've been running against the idea of good government for longer than I have been alive. And while we sit here and say, well, look at all the chaos, it really isn't funny. I mean, I guess every day that they're doing this, they're not fucking the American people, whether it's the McCarthy faction or the 20... maggots. And let's be clear about something. This is nothing new. You know, this is the same bunch that formed a coup to get rid of their own leadership a while, you know, back in the aughts and into the teens. And I think we have to start also talking about it in terms of what it really is. These 20 are doing everything in their power to run a fascist coup. Because it's not so much that they want concessions. They've been given concessions by Kevers McCarthy. Just about everything they want. Those single issue bills. Just one
one mouth breathing, knuckle walking freak submitting a motion to for the speaker to vacate the chair. He knows he can't give in on that because there will be one of those every fucking day. It's horrifying. And the things they want, for instance, I caught this earlier when one of the babblers was talking. They want to bring a bill to the floor for the second worst idea in American government. That is term limits on Congress. Now, we've talked, it was in the distant past mostly, but we've talked at length about how it was a terrible idea, and of course it was brought to us by the Republicans back in the 50s, a terrible idea to term limit the presidency. We had never had a term limits problem with the presidency. Only one president had gone more than two terms, and that was Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And he beat the shit out of the Republicans every time they turned around and tried to run against him. And that left them just absolutely brutally butthurt. And so first thing, when they got the opportunity, they passed a constitutional amendment limiting the presidency to two terms out of some notion that it would protect the United States from, I don't know. Most people who serve in the presidency don't have the will or the desire to go past two terms. I think Barack Obama famously said that if it was possible and he had gone for a third term, he would have been the first president to be divorced while in office. Because Michelle didn't want none of that shit. She was over. She's over. She's done. Enough already. Wouldn't it have been nice to have had a third Obama term, though? He would have beaten Nitwit Nero like Nitwit Nero owed him money. But they passed that just because they were tired of being beaten, and they were afraid that even back then, only halfway through the 20th century, they were afraid that they would never have power again. Even though they got power with Eisenhower, didn't mean for that to rhyme, but it did, only a few short years later. He served two terms and was happy to go. He just wanted to go back and play golf. But the second worst idea in American politics is term limits in Congress, and these idiots seem to think that they can do that through legislation. Now, check me, Steve, in New York, if I'm wrong. But wouldn't you have to... wouldn't you have to have a constitutional amendment to impose term limits on members of the House of Representatives? Something in me thinks you would. You can't just do that statutorily. And there's nothing that says somebody can't introduce a constitutional amendment to do exactly that. But that's one of their barking and grunting demands. And, of course, they want a balanced budget. And eventually it would be tied to, and I'm sure it is inherently tied to, the worst idea in American politics. That is a constitutional convention of the states. Which would absolutely well, destroy whatever we know of our federal government, and they're all for that. That's funny. Lee in New York says, a poll suggestion for the Horn community. Speaker or head of lettuce, which reaches its expiration date first? I don't know. You make me wonder. Did Kevers McCarthy did he meet with Liz Truss or something? Is this something that's catching? Did it float across the pond? I don't know. C-SPAN has now notated that McCarthy does not have the votes. An 11th speaker vote is possible today. Why, look, there's Chip Roy of Syphilis Springs, Texas. Surprised that fucker doesn't wear a bow tie. He looks like a man that would wear a bow tie, him with his little Confederate colonel beard. Chin beard there. And of course there was a Who is Byron Donalds article. They did everything but say that he was born in a log cabin in Kentucky. And you got to think that by accepting that nomination, he's a two-termer. But if somehow or another Kevers' faction will find a way to maybe make him a, at best, two-term congressman, and don't really care. I think Cori Bush is right. He's advancing the right wing's white supremacist agenda. It comes as no surprise that his wife, Erica, is an advocate for the school choice movement in Florida. Of course, you know, the corporatization of government schools. As recently as December of 2021, Byron Donalds was singing the praises of Kevin McCarthy, saying that he'd done tremendous things for House Republicans. So right now the question is, who's going to be the person that can take us to the next level? Kevin's proven he can do that. Oops. And he went on to say that... Well, you know, debate's healthy. But again, remember, they're not interested in the concessions. They want Kevin McCarthy's hide. I mean, this really is a modernized Ides of March kind of moment. Vis est. This is violence, Caesar has said to have said, and none of that et tu Brute bullshit. And if they could, the House Republicans would go over and tear Kevin McCarthy limb from limb. Because for some reason they despise him. And it's not for some reason, it is because he will not let the maggot caucus run batshit crazy. And this maggot caucus is nothing new. They've been at this for a while.
this is just the first time that they've and they recognized their moment when they realized that they were not going to have a red wave, that they were standing in the midst of a pink puddle about as deep as a hoof print, a muddy hoof print in the West Texas sun. And so we're just going to go on and on and on. Steve from Georgia Stan says, they may have been clapping a little bit ago. They may have been clapping for Kevers voting for himself. Well, you're right. It may have been mistranslated, Randy Radar. Beware of geeks bearing gifts, not Greeks. In this case, yeah, pencil neck geeks. And by this point, Hakeem Jeffries is up to 203 votes. Byron Donalds has gotten 11. Kevin Hearn has got 7. That's 18. So we've got 3 more to go. And then the humiliation of Kevin McCarthy will move into its, possibly, unless they adjourn for supper, into its 11th vote. This will end sometime, and I hope that if the Democrats maintain discipline on this, this can go on ad infinitum. And the funny thing is, all of these weirdos, the 20 weirdos, I guess they feel certain that they have nothing to worry about back home in the district because their constituency is comprised entirely of, you know, people who pick their teeth with their toenail clippings. Lee in New York notes, a house divided itself cannot stand. Republican Abraham Lincoln say in an orange voice, who knew he was a Republican, seemed to know about his party demonstrating that today. I was thinking on a more national basis, but it applies in micro as well as macro. Randy Radar adds, the definition of insanity is, well, you know the drill. And I say let them. Until they figure it out. Oh, well, okay. The things to do while the House is voting, while Kevers is being further humiliated. Steve in New York says, what about playing that inimitable Price is Right game, Plinko? Oh, yeah. The Congressional Week. Kim in New York writes, hi, Robin. Hi, Kim. I have to laugh at fly-in day, so by my calculations, the Congress critters work maybe half of Monday, all of Tuesday and Wednesday, then Thursday is fly-out day, so they work most likely half a day on Thursday. That amounts to 3 days a week at a salary of $200,000 a year, not to mention all the break and vacation time they get. Nice work if you can get it. Meanwhile, I'm a social worker who works 5 full days a week and does not earn $200,000. No, you don't, Kim. No, you don't. That's why there's only 243 of those fuckers. I mean, 423. I don't know. 400 and something. Yeah. But here we are. And Lauren Bobblehead Boobert lecturing the nation. It doesn't get much funnier than that. And I did notice that she toned down her lipstick today. She was going for that bright red there on Tuesday, and now she's down to a more neutral lip. It's all about the outfit. Never mind. Nobody cares. so there are other news stories. Ralphs notes that John King at CNN did an analysis of the Never Kevers people. I don't know why that hasn't stuck, Never Kevers. We just whisper them into the ear of the universe here and wait to see what happens. Oh, and by the way, Annette, this is more than the way of a public service announcement. Annette just sent me a note saying she had received an email saying that there's been a huge data breach at, of course, Twitter. Better tell the community. Probably me too. But like I said, other news while they're at 211 and 200, so we're very close to done with this round. Check in real quick.
Walburn.
McCarthy.
There's his 201st.
Watson Coleman. Jeffries.
There's Jeffries' 212th. And all
if
the Democrats
any
do
Democrats
is
elect who did not answer the roll, then they may come to the well and vote at this time.
At this point, it stands at Jeffries 212, McCarthy 201, Donald 13, Hearn 7, present 1. Is the 1 still Victoria Spurts? Listen, y'all, I mean, yeah, we're coming up on the end of the first hour of the program. If anybody wants to get involved, be part of the conversation, feel free to jump in via the Skype line or the Stress line, either one. C-SPAN just offered up a telling shot of the speaker's chair, which is, of course, empty. And, let's see who we got. Hey, welcome to the program. Wait, let me mute this. Sorry, wrong channel. Wait, time out. I'll get this right yet. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Tracy, what's up?
Nothing. I just didn't expect you to answer the phone so quickly. So, hi. How are you?
You know, just sitting. I'm getting a little tired of the smell of the elephant poo. But just sitting here in the cheap seats watching the circus.
So you mean that also the smell of the caramel corn and the peanuts aren't reaching this?
Has caramel corn and roasted peanuts ever been able to overpower a big elephant dump? I don't think so.
No. One could only hope. No, I've just been. This whole thing is just such an embarrassment. It's just.
Well, I don't know, Tracy. I'm not embarrassed. Are you? This is not my party.
I'm embarrassed for the country. I'm not embarrassed for us.
Yeah, what a pity a bunch of dipshits in Colorado sent bobblehead there. Or a bunch of dipshits in Florida sent Matt Gaetz.
Oh,
and by the way, in case you're wondering, Matt, it just gets worse. Gates just voted. Darlene just let me know because I didn't have the audio up. And it just gets worse. Just actually voted for, you guessed it, Donald fucking Trump.
No, Trump. Oh, God.
And Auntie Maxine, Darlene points out, Auntie Maxine got a little bit pissed today because, you know, she's been there long enough to know the rules, and she does. And one of those shitbirds actually mentioned her by name. And she stood up and said, "Get my name out your mouth."
Oh, and you know, here's the deal. Remember back last year, I actually met for the first time Maxine Waters. I mean, because I've seen her on TV for decades, right? But I had no idea. She's a tiny person. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
She's an itty bitty. So
she's one of them frightening. She's one of them frightening little women.
Yes. And I was like, ooh. I'm even more impressed by her to see how tiny she is. I mean, I'm not a tall woman. I'm 5'5", but she's shorter than me. She, you know, she comes up to maybe. I'm like, she's an Oompa Loompa, and I was like, she it man. And then she's just now that I saw her in person, and now that these people quake in their boots when she you know stands up and speaks or calls anybody out, it's even more impressive. She is truly an auntie. She's one of those black women that could just scare you into I can't think of the word, it just into silence or what have you.
Oh, and the white guy said, "Well, I didn't mention anybody by name." Yes, you did.
Yes. See, this is what tickles me about these stupid motherfuckers. It's like you are on tape. This shit is being videoed. You know, people. Oh.
Okay, I'm glad you called, because you can go places with this that I cannot go.
Okay, because here we go. Is this the black or the queer person or the lesbian portion of the question of the day?
No, this is where you get to channel your inner Auntie Maxine, and just sort of let go on Byron Donalds if you want to.
Oh, so. Because I sent you that article this morning, and I'm reading this shit, and because I heard the audio, I guess it was yesterday, you know, this is a historic moment. Is booga booga booga. So he's another. I mean, the Congress's answer to Herschel Walker.
Yeah,
everybody should own one. Yeah, I said it. It's like,
well, I mean, he's got two years of experience under his belt. There is I don't care who you are. If you are 2 years in the House, you are not prepared to be Speaker.
No.
And as a consequence, I mean, and so these 20, most of whom are white supremacists in the first place.
In the first place.
Are they not? I don't know how to put this so that you can then it. Are they not making a house?
Yes.
Of him.
That part. Yes, I said everyone should own one if you can. I mean, come on. It's just like Cory Booker, you know, said. It's like he's a fucking prop. He's Clarence Thomas. He's Herschel Walker. He's every black Republican that the white people trot out to say, look, we're not racist. We have one. You know, what? Some of my best friends are Negroes. And, you know, and it would be. But then these are the same black people who, again, I know people say, oh, you should give them a chance. You know, don't judge them just because they're Republicans. Fuck you. because just because, it, you know, Mike is like when they were going on about Liz Cheney for being brave and going against her party. No, she wasn't being brave. She was just posturing. I mean, yes, she did a hell of a job and everything, but the problem is it wasn't brave to do your job. It wasn't brave to defend the country, because isn't it in their oath to defend the Constitution against all enemies, domestic,
foreign, and domestic?
And domestic. Okay? So when you stand up, because the thing is, yes, she stood up against them, but she's still a Republican. See, that's my problem. You have to, in order for me to give grace to Republicans at this point, at this juncture, the cruelty, the gall, they're not here for governing, they're here for power. And I'm not stupid enough not to think that there's Democrats that are here for the same thing. However, they're not here to govern. They're not here to make policy to help the citizenry of this country. They don't care. They just want to keep America as white as possible. And so these House Negroes, like the Attorney General of Kentucky, the Senator, you know, from South Carolina, Stan, and this brother here that I've never even heard of because I don't follow politics like you do, but he's a black man that's a Republican.
He is a black man who is doing the business of the white supremacists, which is what Cori Bush said, and she was not wrong.
He is a House, and so he's a House Negro. Yeah, he is. That part. So I cannot abide the hypocrisy, you know, and when they get up and make these grand speeches about history in the making and stuff like that, I'm like, no, history in the making would be for if there's any sane Republicans in Congress at this point to say, you know what? I'm siding with the Democrats, and I'm just going to vote in Jeffries as Speaker of the House. Now that would be history making.
Well, and I kept hearing about, you know, Don Bacon, you know, the guy out of Nebraska who said, well, you know, these 20 keep doing this, I will work with them, and I will get us a Speaker or find a way to work with the Democrats. Well, look, there. The Democrats, I hope they're gonna maintain this united front. They're not gonna cave. And I hope it's Jeffries 212 as far as the eye can see.
How many does he need to become Speaker?
If just like six six Republicans just vote present. Jeffries is Speaker. They don't even have to vote for him. They just vote present.
They just have to vote present. Mm-hmm. Just vote present. I mean,
and the thing is, here's something to remember, because, you know, I said this as the Congress was winding down, and actually before it was made official, I said, you know, the next leader of the House Democrats is going to be Hakeem Jeffries. And this is back when people were gooning on Miss Nancy. You know, because she wasn't sufficiently ideologically pure.
Oh, God, these people.
And I said, you know, bear in mind, you're going to wind up missing Nancy.
Oh, yeah.
Because the fact of the matter is, the rap on Hakeem Jeffries was that he is a corporatist, centrist Democrat.
Yep.
Which means that if he was actually Speaker of the House, some shit would get done.
Yes.
But the difference is, if he's Speaker of the House, he's not going to pull a Barack Obama, Tracy. And, like in regard to the terrorist attack on the Capitol on January 6th, he's not going to say, oh, we must look forward and not back.
He's not.
He is not going to do that shit. And I think that's one thing, you know, they would want concessions from him. You know, that there would be, that the Republicans would get to exercise some degree of a majority. And, you know, they do have, they've got a 10-seat majority.
That is so annoying to me.
Well, it is. And it didn't have to be that way.
Didn't have to be that way.
They've got a 10-seat majority because certain Democrats fucked up. And number one on that list is Sean Patrick Maloney of New York and the New York legislature that got too cute by half in its redistricting.
As a matter of fact, the other day, what's today? Whatever day. Oh, Tuesday. One of my last rides. I picked up this family coming back from New York. They were there over the holiday. And I love it when my passengers, we start talking politics. I don't start. I let them start. And then I decide whether or not I'm going to engage or anything. Whatever district Santos is from, that was his home district.
Yeah.
And he was hotter than fish grease, sis. He's like...
Oh, Eastman, he's pissed because early on, after Santos won, early on people were saying, well, you know, the Eastman campaign had money. Why didn't they at least do some research? Well, Eastman came out later and said, we did the research. We had this information. We went to the media. We went to the New York Daily News. We went to the New York Times. And everybody said, well, you're a shoo-in. You're going to win. Santos doesn't have a chance. We don't need to fool with this.
Oh, my God.
The media, there was no media coverage of any of this.
Nope.
And so you could argue that George Santos is there as much by virtue of, or by unvirtue, of media malpractice as anything else.
If anything else.
I wonder, you know, if you were to look back over the, say, from whenever New York's primary was to all the way to the general election, look at the electronic media and see how many Hunter Biden stories there were.
Hunter Biden.
Yeah, exactly. Or you know, how many stories about the attack on Paul Pelosi that featured Republicans talking shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you know this, Rick Fanone, on behalf of a lot of other law enforcement folks, delivered a letter to people like Marginal Trailer Queen saying, listen, the fact that y'all will not flat out denounce the violence of January 6th is going to bring on more violence. And so right here, what we're watching today is, you know, it goes back to me being corrected insofar as I was saying, you know, for a long time, y'all, they're going to do it again. And then somebody came along and said, no, it's not they're going to do it again. It's y'all, they're still doing it. And what we've got today is just an extension of January 6, 2021. Make no mistake about that. This is them trying to do something since the first coup failed.
And nobody's calling them out on it.
Right. And by the way, I just got a note from Sister Bernadette. Subject line, Byron Donalds. The Republicans actually think black people are so stupid we would vote for any black person that they put forward. What they don't understand is that colorism exists among black people because of their racist asses. For centuries, they pitted the House, and let me be kind to white ears, N-words against field N-words. We didn't vote for Hershey Walker. Oh, my God, Hershey Walker. ha, we didn't vote for Hershey Walker, and we won't for Byron Donald's Trump-loving ass either. Stop playing us for your black fools. Cori Bush was absolutely correct. Take your prop, sit your dumb ass down, and shut the f*** up.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Bernadette.
I love it when Bernadette don't pull punches.
No, and that's one of the things I was talking about to my passenger. See, I love it when I talk to white people about racist white people, because, but see, then again, then they kind of say, well, gee, I'm not that racist or anything like that.
Not that racist. Only a little. But,
I mean, a racist white, you know, a racist adjacent. But then
I got mixed race grandchildren because my.
Right.
Because my daughter doesn't run off with a basketball player.
Right. Or my last name is my daughter's last name is Kardashian.
Ow.
What? Hello? What? Zing. Pow. Ow.
That one sizzled a little bit.
Talk about using your children as an accessory. Okay,
you went there, didn't you?
No, I'm not. I'm not sorry, because I actually have a mixed race really good friend of mine who she had, and I'm not going to say it was the misfortune, other than the fact that she says it's a misfortune of being a mixed race child raised by their white parent and no black parent in the picture. And so this friend of mine, this is.
Well, that's okay, honey. We'll send you off to one of those Negro colleges we hear about on the TV all the time.
Actually, she did go to Spelman, but here's the deal.
Sorry, I was just doing my Richard Pryor white guy voice.
Exactly. But when she was born, her mother was upset because, wait for it, she wasn't dark enough. So she couldn't actually tell. You couldn't actually tell. She was what we call, you know, these parents like me.
What term are you, what uncomfortable term are you going to use, Tracy?
I just said racially ambiguous.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't going to say what you thought I was going to say. I tried to.
I was expecting the phrase that begins with hi.
Oh, yeah. No. No, I wasn't going to do that. You know, I was. I would.
You've traumatized me.
I would just. Now, I would say, couldn't pay us the paper bag chest. That's not terrible, you know. But she was too. And here's another one. I'm going to fuck with you on this one. She was too fair skinned. So what's so fair about her skin? But anyhow. I have to say these words, these phrases sometimes, so our white audience members and even some other folks will understand. You are not to use. Do not say that. It's like right up there with good hair.
Well, you know what phrase came to mind the first time that they nominated Byron Donalds, don't you?
Uncle Coon? I mean...
No. They listed Uncle off his Tom. Accomplishments and how he rose from poverty and how
he's all smart and
articulate. And you know the next phrase.
And he clean, too.
There, yes. Oh, we're applauding Hakeem Jeffries.
Wait, what's happening?
I don't know. They're cheering for Hakeem Jeffries.
Kevin McCarthy of the state of California has received 200.
Ugh. Clap, white people, clap.
And they're probably clapping off our feet.
Shut up.
The Honorable Byron Donalds of the state of Florida has received 13.
Oh, go Lucky 13. I'm sorry.
The Honorable
Kevin didn't nobody clap.
The state of Oklahoma has received 7. With one
nobody
answering
clap.
Present. No member elect having received a majority of the votes cast, a speaker has not been elected.
Holy shit.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Arkansas rise?
Madam Clerk, I rise tonight in the spirit of 1923 to address the House. Madam Clerk,
to nominate
Kevin McCarthy for Speaker of the House.
They're going to go to another ballot.
First, let me express my deep appreciation, the appreciation of everybody in this room for the work you're doing, Madam Clerk.
A black woman. Okay.
Honey, you ain't going to have a job if the Republicans get in charge.
Mm-mm. Hope she's sending out her resume.
Update that LinkedIn, sugar.
Our clerk has...
I'm gonna mute our mics for a second. I'll be right back while this guy talks, okay?
...of preparation okay. and dedication to this institution, and we're grateful. From the first Speaker of the House, the Honorable Frederick Muhlenberg, to the one that will be elected next, Kevin McCarthy. The role of Speaker of the House is one of the most beloved in American history. The Speaker's mission is to carry out the principled goals and objectives of his or her party, while at the same time protecting this institution and the traditions of the People's House, all the while remaining faithful to that imperative in our preamble of the Constitution to promote the general welfare. It's a difficult job. It takes a special personality with deep affection for the House, robust courage, a sense of humor, and great amounts of humility and patience. I've watched Kevin McCarthy for longer than my 8 years serving in this chamber. And I can say without hesitation that Kevin has brought these foundational traits of leadership to bear for good of this institution and for the good of the American people. It's said that a nation not in control of her finances cannot control her destiny. And I agree. And from our many conversations over many years, I have no doubt that our next speaker, Kevin McCarthy, agrees. In the Republican commitment to America, Leader McCarthy charged our Republican conference with taking on his two biggest concerns facing this world and this nation: China and our domestic national debt and deficit. Over the past 2 years, we have lost our way on spending, printing too much money at our central bank and spending here in Congress like drunken sailors. This bad policy palooza has gone into overdrive in the past 2 years with some $5 trillion of new spending demanded by President Biden and now delivered by the House minority, whose own budget chair famously said there's effectively no limit to what America can print, borrow, and spend. Of course, this is madness, and it's not anchored in any economic tenet. And there's not a single one of us here that isn't demanding a return to fiscal discipline. And who can deliver fiscal discipline? Kevin McCarthy. On the point of spending, let me show you a list of everyone who's written me in the 2nd Congressional District who's asked me to cut spending. I'm holding up a blank piece of paper. No one has asked me to cut spending in writing. And there are not many people who get a lot of mail in this House to cut spending and to set spending priorities. In contrast, we get hundreds of letters asking us to increase spending. But we're at a critical point in this nation's fiscal health, and there's one person to help see us through it, Kevin McCarthy. How do I know? Because he said it himself, and he's identified how to do it. In 2018, then Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy, brought a balanced budget amendment to the floor of this House. Mr. McCarthy said, by our actions, we've shown Washington's spending problem can't be boiled down to a lack of will. It's a problem of structure and process, and everyone knows the process of government funding in Washington is broken.
Yeah, there's broken Washington again. And I just got to interrupt to note that a balanced budget amendment is the third worst idea in American politics.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Well, all right, let's see. This is, by the way, this is representing French Hill of Arkansas, the 2nd District, and Little Rock and Conway and Busted Knuckle.
That's your next speaker on the floor of this House in 2018. Kevin McCarthy is committed to making big changes. We've heard it in our conference meetings. We've heard it in our rules debates. We know this comes to reforming the budget process, fighting to bring all 12 appropriations bills to the floor under regular order and on time, and crafting changes to structurally rein in spending in this House. These changes will bring sanity back to our fiscal process. I'm committed to bringing sanity back to the fiscal process, and I hope every member on this floor will be. And
you know, I can't help but wonder if Americans understand what a balanced budget amendment would do to this country.
Friends on the other side of the aisle, my good friend.
No, they don't.
The so-called popcorn caucus this week, if you will.
But they think
over the
they
past
do
two days, about 1923.
You know,
oh, he just referred to the Democrats as the popcorn caucus.
Among House Republicans.
Fuck you, buddy.
Who will be the next Speaker of the House? Back in 1923, the insurgency among Republicans then was from the center-left of the Republican Party. Today,
there
it's
ain't
from
one
the center-right. But there's more to the story in that fight 100 years ago. And I want to remind you of that history. When Fred Gillette was elected Speaker on the ninth ballot in 1923,
Oops.
The outcome was a more robust, more unified Republican conference, one that would go to work with President Calvin Coolidge, cut government spending, balance the budget, cut taxes while paying down the debt. House Republicans 100 years ago unleashed a pro-growth agenda.
Anybody care to guess what happened 6 years after that? That would be 1929. Their pro-growth agenda set the world on fire and brought us to the Great Depression.
The Great Depression. Hello.
Hello.
There.
Is he still talking, apparently?
Families in the 20s, the McCarthy pro-growth agenda will benefit families across this country today. A century later, under the next speaker, Kevin McCarthy, mark my words, this party will come together to unleash American energy, make the Trump tax cuts permanent.
If you like the Bush Great Recession, you're going to love the McCarthy Great Depression
budget.
Part 2.
So I stand before you today with unqualified support to nominate my friend, the next Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy.
Bruga, 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 bruga.
Bruga, bruga, bruga. You know what? Have you seen both versions of Clash of the Titans?
Yeah. Oh, here comes Bobblehead. No, I'm sorry. This is Nagoose from Colorado. Steve Nagoose. Joe Nagoose.
Madam Clerk.
Joe.
We've heard a lot today, yesterday, the day before, about the potential history that may be made in this chamber. But it is worth repeating for the American people watching the history that has already been made by the elevation of the dedicated, talented, passionate, and committed public servant and leader from the state of New York, the first African American, the first person of color to lead any political party in the House of Representatives in the history of our country, and that is Hakeem Jeffries.
Oh.
Madam Clerk, it is with great pride that I rise to nominate the gentleman from New York, the man who has been the lead vote-getter 10 times and counting to be the Speaker of the House. Madam Clerk, the last several days have been difficult for the country and for the American people as they have watched what has unfolded in this chamber, as they have seen the dysfunction laid bare on the other side of the aisle. And I suspect that some Americans watching will recall the dysfunction of years past. My colleague on the other side of the aisle talked about history, Woodrow Wilson, Calvin Coolidge, and the like. I'd like to take folks through more recent history, because I can tell you that as a member from the great state of Colorado, this is not their first rodeo as far as dysfunction is concerned. 4 years ago today, I was sworn in with my colleagues from the class of 2018 during what became the most difficult and the longest government shutdown in the history of our country. Why? Because of the dysfunction and the chaos on the other side of the aisle. The country then did what it has so often done. It looked to House Democrats to govern and to lead, and under the leadership of one of the greatest speakers in the history of the country, Nancy D'Alessandro Pelosi, that is exactly what we did. We want to talk about history, let's talk about recent history. 2 years ago, tomorrow, I stood here
comes.
With so many of you in this chamber as our democracy was attacked, as our colleagues on the other side of the aisle tried to overturn an election. And the country, yet again, did what it has done before. It looked to House Democrats to lead and to govern. And that is exactly what we did when we certified the election and we safeguarded the transfer of power.
How?
How did you how?
That sizzled too.
So.
That's only the mark.
And so here we find ourselves again in unprecedented times, in the early days of the 118th Congress. First time in over 100 years in which the House of Representatives is unable to organize because the House Republican Conference cannot select a speaker. It's a sad day for this institution, but the country will do what it has done before. It will look to House Democrats to govern and to lead, and under the leadership of Hakeem Jeffries, that is exactly what we will do.
Hoo-wee!
Now, you have heard from so many over the course of the last 3 days about the wisdom, the leadership, and the talents of this extraordinary leader from Brooklyn. But let me tell you why I believe that he is the person for this moment. Centuries ago, our nation's second president, John Adams, laid bare his fear that members of this body would gain influence by, quote, meanness, not greatness, by noise and not sense, by ignorance and not learning.
Ow.
Hakeem Jeffries' leadership is rooted in greatness and not meanness. It is rooted in learning and not ignorance. His approach is rooted in common sense and not the empty and jaded cynicism and noise that we see so often in our political sphere. He is a leader for our times, which is why I believe he is the leader for this time. The bottom line, my colleagues, is this. It is 6:30 p.m. here in Washington, D.C. The House of Representatives, this sacred institution, needs a leader. It needs a speaker. It needs a leader who will inspire us. A leader who knows that our best days are yet ahead. A leader committed to our communities and our Constitution and our country. And I am here to tell you that leader is Hakeem Jeffries of the great state of New York.
He got one of them Arab names, don't he?
I know. Ain't he a Muslim?
It gives me great honor as the chairman of the House Democratic Communications and Policy Committee to nominate Hakeem Jeffries for Speaker of the House.
Hell, I'm about half ready to nominate Joe Neguse.
Now be tight, sir.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Florida rise?
To place a name and nomination for the position of Speaker of the House.
The gentleman is recognized.
My friends, when Donald Trump was president, taxes were cut, regulations
Can you guess who this is, Tracy?
Energy was abundant,
no,
wages were rising, capital was returning
No, no, this is Matt, it just gets worse.
The dreams and ambitions of our fellow Americans, and the economy was roaring. What a contrast to what we have seen from this administration now. And so I rise to nominate Donald Trump for the position of Speaker of the House. And for all of the vitriol that we hear from the media and at times the left, there were great moments of bipartisanship under the Trump presidency. And the Democrat nominee for Speaker knows that well because he led valiantly on the efforts for criminal justice reform, and I was honored to join him. And I know.
And you know what? They all agreed that they didn't want them the maggot terrorists to string them up.
A second step and a third step to take, and I'm glad that we were able to work with President.
You know, in the name of Donald Trump,
Republicans and with Democrats to provide real outcomes for Americans to create greater prosperity and more opportunity. I also care deeply about President Trump's focus on our nation's veterans. It seemed for far too long on the campaign trail, veterans were disregarded, forgotten about. When we would get elected to office, their issues would not always rise and get center stage, but we were able to pass veterans accountability measures. We were able to actually get people fired at the VA who weren't doing their job. What a great thing that would be to extend and continue and to continue to nourish. President Trump oriented our views on trade so that we actually put the American people first, not foreign interests abroad.
Wish I'd known. I would have picked up a couple of tabs of acid, Tracy.
President Trump knew that we had to confront China. That China had already engaged in a trade war against us, but it was a war that we were surrendering, and so we started to fight back. He stood with our farmers. And on foreign policy, we stopped trying to find Jeffersonian democracy to build out of sand and blood and Arab militias in the Middle East. Matter of fact, President Trump, I believe, is the first president of my lifetime that didn't start any new wars. This is an issue that I know unites some elements of the right and left for the benefit of our communities.
Will the House be in order?
This government for far too long has been deeply corrupt. This town has been deeply corrupt. The way people get leadership positions and chairmanships and opportunities to be able to morally preen has been by accepting lobbyist and special interest money and redistributing that money as currency for favors. And that is not a criticism of either political party. It is a criticism of what we have allowed to happen in this place. And if we just go next man up on our side of the aisle, we will reify that corrupt system and we will abandon the people who are expecting us to fight for them. I have heard from my colleagues about all the important work we have to do, and it is my sincere fear that if we were to allow Mr. McCarthy to assume the speakership, that would not get done. That it would be business as usual.
Excuse me.
The very same things that have paralyzed progress for both parties would continue to shackle us to never-ending failure. We can be better than that. We can raise our gaze indeed. We also have to restore to the Speaker's office, an actual person that ought to be in the Speaker's office, not the squatter who is currently there. And if the architect of the Capitol is listening, I sent a letter, and I would like to know what the basis is to allow somebody to occupy the Speaker's office who comes in second place 10 straight times. Is there, like, some basis in law or rule or precedent for that? And so I nominate President Trump because we must make our country great again, and he can start by making the House of Representatives great again.
Kim in New York. Kim in New York just said, I'm getting ready to jump off a skyscraper. Is any Dem going to yell at Gates that Trump is a goddamn terrorist?
Madam Chair, I rise for the purpose of placing a name in nomination.
The gentleman is recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. What a privilege we all are enjoying tonight. We are all enjoying as elected members.
This is Neo Maxi Zoom Dweeby Bob Good of Virginia.
Has been said. And what a great representation of the constitutional republic in which we enjoy living, the greatest country in the history of the world. As we play out as the people's representatives in selecting the all-important position of the Speaker of the People's House. I was out in the southeast balcony here just a few moments ago, looking out at the Supreme Court, looking at the flag flying above this Capitol building, looking at the Jefferson and Madison, both Virginians, by the way, libraries of Congress, and pausing to do what probably most of us recognize we fail too often to do, to take it in, this high privilege, this distinct honor that we have to be the people's representatives from our respective districts in this House, here in this Congress. This is the greatest nation in the history of the world. With all of our imperfections and all of our imperfections as people and as a nation, no nation in the history of the world has freed more people, has rescued more people, has ministered to more people, has evangelized more people than the United States of America. And that would be a good time to respond with some applause.
Okay.
There's a reason why people from all over the world are trying to get into this country. Many of them
illegally. Oh, Auntie Maxine giving him the stink eye bad.
Administration. But people from all over the world are literally taking on a treacherous journey, risking life and limb, subjecting themselves to abuse.
And you want to send them back into it, you dipshit?
Because they know this is the greatest country in the history of the world.
On earth now, today, forever in the universe, under God, amen.
Upward mobility, more advancement opportunity to people of all races, all nationalities, all ethnicities, like the United States of America.
Drove right by the liquor store today.
But however, we as a nation, we're teetering on the brink, aren't we? Isn't there just a window of opportunity to save the republic? Crisis after crisis, $32 trillion in national debt. Equates to over $90,000 per citizen, almost $100,000 now, per citizen. Some $300,000 per household. When I said that on this very floor a few months ago in a budget debate, the then chairman of the budget committee said, stop saying that. We're not asking anybody to pay it back. As if it's not real, as if it's not monopoly. As I heard someone say, don't tell the other side what happens after trillion, what comes after trillion. And we just spent $1.7 trillion. Both parties, Republicans joining in the Senate, a few in the House, to pass a $1.7 trillion omnibus spending bill. Sadly and unfortunately, part of the reason why I stand here today, the kind of bill that has been supported by our former minority leader every time it's come up in the House, no matter who is in control, in the 12 years that he has been in leadership, contributing to the $32 trillion in national debt. Yes, the other side is better at raising the debt than we are, but we have been participants. We're in crisis. We're in crisis with 5 million illegals having invaded the border.
Illegals!
When is enough? Is it too much? We're in crisis.
When is a human being an illegal for this party of lies?
College campuses, indoctrination of our kids. We're in crisis with the weakening of our military with these NDAA bills. We're in crisis with trampling on our most basic and essential freedoms over the last 2 years in ways we couldn't have imagined.
You got drag queens on your bingo card, Tracy?
Whether we can assemble, whether we can worship, whether we can earn a living, whether we can travel, what we have to put on our face, whether or not we have to take into our body, whether or not we have to disclose what we've taken in. Trampled in ways we couldn't have imagined just a few years ago. The greatest reflection of where the people in the country are is the House of Representatives. And the people spoke back on November 8 and gave the majority by some 3 or 4 million votes to the Republican Party. It's not the White House, it's not the Senate, it's the people's house that reflects where the American people are, and they've trusted us on this side of the aisle with the leadership of this house. And we have a window of opportunity to validate that trust, to do whatever we can to save the Republic, to earn them giving us the Senate and the White House and this House back in 2024. We have got to have a leader who not only has true conservative convictions that reflect the majority of Republicans who sent us here, but yet a courageous leader. It doesn't matter what you believe, by the way, unless you're willing to take risks to yourself personally to fight for it. We need a leader who is proven to do that very thing. We have an opportunity to make history. We will live with the decision on this side of the aisle for the next 2 years. We will answer for how we voted. And I know how people in your respective districts, like mine, Madam Chair, all the respective districts, how they're telling you to vote. They've been telling me how to vote for 3 years, to vote for transformational change in our leadership of this Republican Party. They've told me not to vote for the status quo, not to vote for the next in line establishment creature of the swamp cartel, but to vote for transformation.
In other words, he represents a bunch of assholes.
We'll hang in there. Or will we cave? Or will we give in? Or will we let them?
Well, you know, he represents the great great grandchildren of the Confederates who, well, never mind.
You look and see what a great job a recent businessman did in the White House. Did things no one else has ever done in the White House. Did things that no one else has ever done to try to change the country. Showed courage and common sense and judgment that we've not seen before. We need a businessman as the Speaker of the House. We need a businessman like Kevin Hern as Speaker of the House. We need a businessman like Kevin Hern, who has led the Republican Study Committee's budget task force that I've served on for 2 years and put forth the only balanced budget that I've seen. Heck, the only budget that I've seen.
Kevin Hern, so does that mean that they're done with Byron Donalds?
Say, why don't we adopt the Republican Study Committee's budget for the Republican Party? And we didn't get agreement to do that. We need someone who will do that. And we need someone who's the head of the largest caucus in the Republican conference, someone like Kevin Hern. So it's my privilege to put an official nomination, Kevin Hern, for Speaker of the House. Thank you, and I yield back.
Sit the fuck down, you Klansmen. Bernadette just said,
we'll call the roll.
These white supremacists are not very supreme. They couldn't elect a leader if he wore a pointy hood. And that's a cowbell from Bernadette.
That part's it.
So they threw Byron Donalds under the bus.
That much for his story. His historic moment.
He's fresh out of historicity. Oh. Jesus, God.
I think I just threw up a little in my mouth.
Now, by the way, Bernadette has received a cowbell from Billable Rick. And that is for Hershey Walker.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. That was quality. Thank you, Billable. In the meantime, I got a note from Lady B.
Lady B moment.
Yes.
Hi, Lady B.
Hi, Lady B. She references John Sinton's newsletter. I know John Sinton. John's a good guy. She said, this opening paragraph made me want to forward this to you. A Czech kiter from Brazil sheds identities the way snakes shed their skin, appears in New York State as a well-educated, rich congressional candidate with a compelling past in which his family survived the Holocaust. He was a mucky-muck on Wall Street at such storied institutions as Goldman Sachs and who tragically lost his mother in the 9/11 attacks on the World Trade Center. When belatedly revealed for the incredibly prolific liar that he is, The only true statement above is that he was a minor crook in Brazil. Republican leadership was characteristically mum. And by the time you read this, George Santos will be a member of Congress. Party over country, still. Update. As of this writing, Republicans have rejected a Kevin McCarthy speakership 8 times. Well, we're up to 11 now. 10, actually. We're on the 11th failure. Lady B continues and said, I reapply for food stamps every 3 months. In July, my job gave us a raise from $12.43 an hour to $16 an hour. In September, they told me that I made too much money to continue to receive food stamps. I work 25 hours a week, so that's $16 times 4.5 hours before taxes. It was over the amount an individual can make. But I pay taxes and always have, but that don't matter. Didn't matter. And this is exactly how the majority of Americans like it. But there's a happy ending. In December, I received a call from El Paso County DHS. Seems the income limit changed in October to $2,000 a month for individuals. Since I'm under that, I was reinstated. I was also given back pay. I'm not going to say how much it amounts to, but let's just say I'm stocking up the cabinets and deep freezer while I can. After all, we have a recession on the way. The rich have to claw back that money somehow. The scrutiny you undergo and the paperwork you have to produce is tremendous. Fuck the welfare queen analogy. Those scammers are very, very rare. I help my elderly neighbors with their paperwork. It's time-consuming. You have to have access to every check stub, mortgage payment, utility bill, phone bill, car insurance. It's designed to be difficult to discourage you from applying. So all y'all who know someone who's gaming the system, admire their work effort because they're probably working harder than you. So what does this have to do with the paragraph above about George Santos? Take your best guess. If you're rich and connected, you can get away with more than 5 elderly women and my preternaturally looking young self. You can lie, cheat, and steal and suffer no repercussions, especially when you're a Republican. I-O-K-I-Y-A-R, I'll add editorially. Shit like that ain't nothing but racism. Yes, Santos is a man of color, but unlike Uncle Thomas, he toes the line. Fuck the right people over, win a prize, lather, rinse, repeat. I gotta go, but I just want to emphasize that Republicans don't care about America. It's a game to them, and the winner gets to gloat while sunning on a yacht. They don't even care that this will hurt them. Only that it hurts. I never voted Republican and never will, and may God forgive those of you who ever did. I won't. Go, Lady B, go. And the fact of the matter is, it's been a long-standing statement of mine that, you know, if indeed that great getting up day of judgment, that great getting up morning comes, and I have to stand before St. Peter and have my sins read out one by one, well, they'll probably get done and say, yeah, come on in. What? Oh, yeah, you never voted Republican. You're good. Come on in.
Come on in. Come on down, sister.
Thou good and faithful servant, right?
Well done.
And since Trump's name actually now appears on the tally board, it might be fitting to note that as of a few hours ago, Nitwit Nero has declared that if he gets to be president again, he's going to start the second Mexican War. Yep. He issued a video and said, Joe Biden has sided against the United States with the cartels. Biden's open border policies are a deadly betrayal of our nation. When I'm president, it will be the policy of the United States to take down the cartels, just as we took down ISIS and the ISIS caliphate, and just as, unlike the situation we are in today, we had a very, very strong border with a big, beautiful, beautiful wall. I added the wall part. Strongest border in the history of our country.
I'll order the Department of Defense to make appropriate use of special forces, cyber warfare, and other overt and covert actions to inflict maximum damage on cartel leadership, infrastructure, and operations. The drug cartels and their allies in the Biden administration have the blood of countless millions on their hands. Millions and millions of families and people are being destroyed. When I'm back in the White House, the drug kingpins and vicious traffickers will never sleep soundly again. We did it once, and we did it better than anybody else. We had great border security. It was strong, it was powerful, and it was respected all over the world. And now we're laughed at all over the world, and we're not going to let that happen much longer. We have to take over. We have to be tough. We have to be smart. We have to be fair. But if we don't do something immediately, our country is gone.
Huh. How about that? Last I checked, he spent all of his time with Vladimir Putin's dick in his mouth.
Right. And don't forget licking his salty, sweaty balls.
Thanks for that.
You started it.
I did. And actually, we and our European allies have stopped Putin in his tracks. And by the way, Putin has declared a ceasefire like hell he has.
Like hell.
Yeah.
We'll have glorious ceasefire for Russian Orthodox Christmas, so Russian soldiers and Ukraine soldiers can celebrate Orthodox Christmas like Bishop Krill once.
That's sorry sack of shit. That's the Archbishop, whatever the fuck he is, Krill in Moscow. He's the guy who said that if you die killing Ukrainians, you go straight to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
These people, to go back to Bernadette, about what she's saying about, you know, the whole welfare queen and, if anybody, like she said, if anybody can game the system, you got to work hard. But that's, I think about all my friend, like my good friend, her son is on SSDI. What are you doing, you fucking idiot?
Another driver.
Yes, I might.
pretty sure that wasn't a fair.
No. But I think about my best friend. And when, you know, when COVID was at its worst. Hold on a second. When her son is on SSI. And so, you know, and she's a single mom. So she was able to get the child tax care credit.
Did I lose you, Tracy?
No, I'm having problems getting the door open.
Oh, okay.
She's on Section 8. They actually reduced her son's SSI because she got more money. Now,
right,
her son just turned 8. And it's just the draconian, you know, this austerity thing that they expect.
Well, remember, austerity is only for, you know, not them.
Only for people who need. Austerity is only for people who actually need the help. Hold on a second. We're having door issues.
I understand. Meanwhile, Irish Dave points out, why does the orange tyrant hate free enterprise? Supply from Mexico to meet the demand from us for drugs. George Santos was seen moving his stuff into his sister's place last week, but court records show she's facing eviction for allegedly failing to fork over $40,000 in unpaid rent. Well, maybe that can. Maybe George has that laying around in the campaign coffers. Yeah, he wouldn't balk at that. Now, would he? So far, Kevin Hearn has 4. McCarthy has 48. Others, I don't know who the others are because I don't have the audio up. I guess that's Byron Donalds is still getting voted for. Has 4 votes. No votes for present. And not, this is going to sting. This is going to sting bad. So far.
What?
So far, with over 100, 108, with 116 votes counted, or cast, rather, Nitwit Nero hasn't received a single vote.
Would that be a goose egg there, Robin?
That's a goose egg. That's an ostrich egg.
Oh, yeah, because it's bigger.
Yes.
It's glaring.
And the yolk is more orange.
Talk about everybody.
The yolk's on him.
I'm sorry. That's just, oh my God.
Well, I wonder how, are they trying to maximize the humiliation for Kevers today, making him sit through all of these no's? And he thinks he's going to wear him down. I don't think they understand it. I don't think Kevers understands that these are never Kevers.
These are never Kevers. And here's, it's like, it's, you know, it's like the people, you know, how we can usually embarrass people out of office or what have you, or they'll, you know, it's the same with what's going on here in L.A. with De Leon. So we have these things that I actually finally found a group of people that I'm going to be volunteering with to get signatures for the recall, which we shouldn't have to do if he would just do the decent thing and just step down. So there's a group of, there's all these different factions of trying to get, you know, recalls and stuff like this. But here's the thing, BLM is basically saying, yeah, we want him gone, but we're just going to keep protesting. The problem is, they've been protesting since October, yes? Has he left?
No. That's a no.
As a matter of fact, and so you're not going to be able to play upon a conscience because he's a narcissist and a sociopath. So these people have no conscience. They can pretend, they can act, they can emulate emotion or what have you, but they really have no compassion or empathy for other people or care for other people or the needs of other people. So you thinking, just, I mean, and I'm not saying don't stop protesting, but what I'm saying is, you know, so when I found this group to, you know, help, you know, get signatures for the recall because we need, it's 20,000, but we need at least 25,000. And, you know, so our goal is 30,000. And I'm listening to all the, you know, I'm not the most, you know, politically, you know, there's a lot of stuff I don't know about the processes. And so one of the things is, typically on something like this, we get, they hire professional, of signature gatherers, right? But that costs at least $75,000. But they, you know, this is a totally grassroots thing. And what is beginning to annoy me is the fact that all these people are screaming for him to leave. To you know, we can't get him out of because of his, you know, to try to guilt him out. So we have to do the democratic, you know, the democratic process and do the recall. But the thing is, so I've been asking people to at least volunteer to donate or what have you for this cause. All this noise people have been making, but when you ask people to help do the work or help, you know, raise money so we can get the, you know, because we only have 3 months to get these signatures. But nobody's really.
Let me check this out. Hold on.
Jeffries.
Oh, darn it. Representative Green just came down, and every one of his votes has been a nice statement. And he just shook his finger at the Republican caucus. I don't know what got said. You know, his last vote for Hakeem Jeffries, he said, was in the name of the four little girls blown away at the 16th Street Baptist Church in Alabama.
Whew.
Oh, and now George Santos is sitting next to marginal trailer queen.
Oh. Now my question
and
is...
She's leaning hard away from him.
Oh, wow. Wait a minute. Marginal trailer queen is leaning away from Santos?
Oh, what? Yeah. But she's got a cute little black sequined sleeveless top on today.
You know you got spanked on you when Marjorie Taylor Greene don't want to sit next to you, or you're making sure that she's sitting apart from you because you're vile. Wow, that's wow.
Yeah, she's looking away like he's not even sitting there.
Wow.
Since I've often leaned on you for California geographic information,
mm-hmm.
I just looked up the 23rd Congressional District of California.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's Kevers McCarthy's district.
Bakersfield.
Most of Kern and Tulare counties in northeastern Los Angeles County. Bakersfield, uh-huh. California City, Fraser Park, Kernville, Lake Isabella, Lancaster, Mojave, Porterville, Ridgecrest, Taft, and Tehachapi. What the hell is wrong with those people?
There's a very, 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 you name some of the whitest communities.
I was going to say, is that where all the white people are?
Yes, Tehachapi, California City. They're very rural. What did you say? Tehachapi is somewhere. Did you say Tehachapi?
I did.
Okay, yeah. Tehachapi, like you said, Tehachapi, Porterville, California City, like you said, most of Kern County. Yeah. Not very melanated up in those parts. Except for the migrant farm workers.
And they don't count.
And they don't count. I mean, my aunt, one of my crazy aunts, they used to live in Bakersfield. Now they live in Delano, which is part of, which is outside of Bakersfield, but that's part of his district. And so that's how you get people like him. Their representative because of the demographics of that area. So we're talking, you're going north on the 5. So it's basically not quite, almost central California. So Bakersfield up in there, it's like on your way to when you get to, you're on the path to Northern California, but it's central California inland. So yeah. So it's like, right before you get to Central California, when you get into Fresno and stuff like that. So Bakersfield is kind of quasi Southern California. It's really weird, but it's.
I think it speaks volumes that back in the day, there was a country music movement out of Bakersfield.
Mm-hmm.
The Buck Owens and the Bakersfield sound.
Remember when we stopped, when we got the approval to adopt Kaylee, her name on the website was Loretta Lynn, and then they had another dog named Willie Nelson, and there was another one, I think named Reva McIntyre or something like that. No, Minnie Pearl. And so I told Jan, Because she's like, well, you're going to come up there and rip me. I said, are you crazy? Do you want the dog? And she's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, Jan, it's like we've been together for 10 years. Why do I constantly have to explain this? I said, check your privilege. I said, I cannot go with you. Now, I'm not saying that all white people who live in Bakersfield and who happen to be fans of country music.
No, of course not.
I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is there's a very strong and high likelihood that they might be, I won't say racist, but maybe anti-black. Okay? So if you want
So there's the difference?
Nope.
No.
But that's just...
Oh, Trump's got one vote. Trump's got one vote.
Is that by the person who nominated
him? Yeah, I don't know. I didn't notice if they'd called Matt Gaetz yet. Let's check in on the audio real quick.
Let's check up. Let's go back to the tape there, Robin.
Loida. McCarthy. LaMalfa.
There's Sparky's asshole congressman.
LaMalfa. Lamborn. McCarthy. Landsman.
Yeah, and Doug Lamborn from, Colorado Springs. He's a total asshole. This is... Yeah.
Do they do the vote in alphabetical order, or how do they do the vote?
Well, I thought they... I don't know. They do, but then they'll come back because everybody's not staying in their seats and showing up to vote in appropriate fashion.
Okay. Because I'm just waiting to hear, what my Congress critter is doing, Brad Sherman.
Oh, he'll get it right.
Oh yeah, he'll get it right. But still, he's still.
I really do want to know where. I want to know where Marge got that sparkly sequin sleeveless top. It's cute. What's wrong with me?
Stop it! Slap you now. About the taste out of your mouth. Yep, I said it.
Let me check a couple of emails. Back to the fact that I'm broadcasting live from atop a Lowe's bucket with a folded-up bathrobe, a blanket, and a pillow on top of it. Not at all comfortable.
Oh, your life.
Yeah, this has been some of the roughest hours I've ever spent on air. For God's sakes, says Dave in the Blind, for God's sakes, girl, don't kick the bucket. You can't afford to replace it. As for Kevin McCarthy and the other Republican reprobates who are trying to form a Congress, I believe the record for number of ballots is 168. Who's got the over and under on this in the community? Asking for friends who bet. Your buddy Dave in the Blind.
Hi, Dave.
And Roger adds, in addition to the everything else that you said about the 23rd Congressional District of California. Also, the only radio they've listened to in the last 40 years has been right wing. That's probably absolutely true. And Irish Dave pointed out, Kever's Congressional District is quite near Devin Nunez country.
Yes! That part.
So, as odd as it is for me to conceive, there are parts of California that are Alabama.
Yes. You know.
And here's an interesting stat for you. Irish Dave points out, corrections officers tend toward fascism in their voting. There are 12 jails and prisons in Bakersfield, California, serving a population of 372,680 people, in an area of 149 square miles. There is one jail and prison per 31,056 people and one jail and prison per 12 square miles. In California, Bakersfield is ranked 157th of 1,798 cities in jails and prisons per capita and 188th of 1,798 cities in jails and prisons per square mile.
Mm-hmm. I would love to know the demographics of the people who are incarcerated.
Oh, you know who's incarcerated.
Yes. And in relations to the what the demographics of the population of the actual city of Bakersfield.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I bet you could probably even find an old red line map if you went looking.
Oh, God, yeah. It ain't hard at all.
Well, I'd say we're about halfway through this ballot. And somebody at C-SPAN is just sitting there waiting. And the minute they get to the number, Representative McCarthy does not have the votes. 12th speaker vote possible tonight.
Now, my question is, as long as they don't have a speaker, do the new people who were elected get sworn in?
They haven't been sworn in.
So does that mean they don't get paid yet?
I don't know about them getting paid. I know staff after, like, somewhere around January 13th, staff stops getting paid. And that's what I mentioned at the top of the program. The high pollutant principles of all these young conservatives is kind of going to take it on the chin. I don't know, maybe the Heritage Foundation and some of those other creepy right-wing outfits are ready to step in with some stipends or something. Kevin Hearn has 6 votes. Others, which I presume is largely Byron Donalds, has 7 votes. Nitwit Nero still has only 1. You know, if Matt at Just Gates Worse really loved him like he says he does, he would not have subjected him to that humiliation.
Well, maybe he really doesn't love him as much as he says he does. Uh-huh. And he's into humiliating him. Maybe his daddy pissed him off and he wants to humiliate him.
I'm still surprised no Republican has had the courage to nominate Liz Cheney. Because I don't think that would break the solid front of the Democrats. But it would be interesting.
Oh, it would be. Please, let's just hope the Democrats just hold, you know, toe the line and hold, you know, because this is just, and when they, I love it how when they were talking about the, you know, 100 years ago, and blah, 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 yeah, how was this country, you know. 2 years before that, we were having some of the worst race massacres, you know, 1920. You really want to go back to the history of this country in the last 100 years, everybody?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what I was pointing toward. 1923, 6 years from the Great Depression, and the Great Depression was brought on in large part by the behavior of that Republican Congress. And that's why after 1932, when FDR beat Hubert Hoover, that's always stuck in my head, they also threw the Republicans out of Congress for about 20 years.
Right. These people, I can't call them humans because they're not.
Well, some of them are maggots.
They're reptilians. They're reptiles.
And Kat Kamick, who was excoriating Democrats for apparently bringing hip flasks into the chamber yesterday, I don't know. If they still had the magnetometers, they couldn't have done that. And of course, you know, you can now bring a gun into the House chamber because the metal detectors are gone.
And what was that all about?
Well, that was.
Why did they take away the metal detector?
Well, to show that, you know, they're in favor of freedom. There ain't gonna be no damn masks. Oh, there's Nancy. She wore a really pretty. It's like a purple. She's looking lovely today. And she just voted for Hakeem Jeffries. I miss her already.
I miss
I miss our majority. Yeah, and just to be clear, because all of this is so freaking esoteric, even though you're not sworn in, you get to vote for Speaker. See, that's the thing. There is not, if you want to get technical about it, there is not a single member of the House of Representatives in there. The House of Representatives does not exist right now.
No.
Because
wait
it is.
A minute. If you haven't been sworn in, you get to vote?
Yeah, you get to vote on Speaker.
On Speaker?
Yeah. I mean, consider. Now, this is just, you know, way out there. But there is no House of Representatives right now. And so if and so if you look to the Constitution, for instance, only the Congress has the power to declare war.
Right.
If some foreign power, let's say Putin decides to roll into Poland right now,
we can't do shit about it.
The House of Representatives could not do dick in terms of a resolution, say, authorizing the use of force in accordance with the North Atlantic Treaty. Couldn't do shit. Couldn't even vote to think about it. They cannot do a damn thing because of these 20 shitheads. And I go back and forth. You know, it's great that they are tearing their party apart. But it's a horror if there's an actual need for the House to act. Others are now up to 11. Trump is at 1. Hearn is at 7. That's 19 defectors. There's 2 more to go. And Marginal Trailer Queen just got up early so she wouldn't show up on camera when George Santos stood up to vote.
And who has he been voting for?
Oh, he's doing what he was told. He's voting for McCarthy. Just like Marge is.
But didn't he have to make all these concessions to these assholes?
Oh, he's made all kinds of concessions, but it doesn't matter. They don't want the concessions. They want his pelt on their wall. They really would do the Brutus and Cassius thing and pull out the knives and go after him if they could get away with it. And here's another fun thing, because I sit around and think about these things because I'm weird.
Because you're, I'm not going to say what I've called you before, but you're a weirdo.
I am.
But that's okay.
I'm a freak.
Okay, you said it.
It's okay. I'm a happy freak.
Yeah, you happy.
Here's one for the arcane constitutional law scholars. Does the speech and debate clause apply, the constitutional speech and debate clause apply in this body right now, insofar as none of them are sworn in members of the House of Representatives? So if they say something shitty, can they be held to account for it? Because you can't do anything to a member of Congress who is acting in the course and scope of their duties as a member of Congress under the speech and debate clause. But there's not a member of Congress in that room.
Nope.
Because none of them have been sworn in. I've noticed a bunch of the Republicans, you know, they change, you know, the little buttons that they wear, their little member buttons. Yes. I've noticed that a bunch of the Republicans are wearing the new ones, which are green, whereas a lot of the Democrats are wearing their old blue ones. Because I don't think the green ones actually work yet, or are supposed to, because there isn't a House of Representatives. The 118th Congress has not gone into session. I know this seems terribly arcane, but some of this shit actually might mean something.
This is just.
Oh, and the congressional anti-caucus is apparently having a high old time right now. They got the camera on a couple of ladies just sitting in the pew having a good time. One lady just reached into her bag and pulled out her personal handheld battery operated fan.
Yep.
Probably keeps it in the bag for church.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
driving down Manchester. I'm heading west on Manchester. So because I don't care about football, but apparently, I guess the National College Football Championship or whatever is going to be here on Monday.
Yeah.
Oh, what a nightmare.
And it's a historic national championship because this matchup has never happened before. And not just that Georgia and TCU haven't played, but it's never been dogs versus frogs.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Benny Thompson just voted for Hakeem Jeffries. We're getting close to the end of this ballot. He's still down 20. Nobody's voted present.
They're not going to make McCarthy speaker, are they, Robbie?
It appears that these 20 are kind of hell-bent on. And like I said, I don't know why it hasn't made it into the sort of zeitgeist of the moment of all of this. Never Kever.
Never Kever.
And there's Matt Gaetz leaning over and yakking to some of the weirdos that he hangs with.
What, the other pedophile?
You know, the toenail clipping carcass. And by the way, I got a movie for you and for everybody. It's on Netflix. Dan Fisher recommended it the other night. I watched it. Annette and I watched it. It was a romp.
Which one?
Kind of intense in spots. It is the most popular Indian film ever released.
Oh, it's an Indian film. Okay.
Yeah, with dubbed in English. But all the songs are still in the original language, so I have no idea what they're singing.
But the music is amazing.
The Telugu language. But it's called RRR.
Triple R? You said RRR?
Yeah, RRR. It is a rock solid 3 hours long.
Oh, my God.
The action and adventure is just amazing. And the production numbers are stunning. There's Auntie Maxine casting her vote and sitting down in disgust.
McCarthy. Winstrup. McCarthy. Westerman. McCarthy. Wexton. Jeffries. Wild. Jeffries. Williams of Georgia. Jeffries. Williams of New York. Williams of New York. Williams of Texas. McCarthy. Wilson of Florida. Jeffries. Wilson of South Carolina.
You lie.
Kevin McCarthy. Whitman. McCarthy. Womack. McCarthy. Yakum. McCarthy. Zinke. McCarthy.
Shrinky Zinke.
Zinke.
Hee.
The reading clerk will now call the names of the members elect who did not answer the first call of the roll.
You know what's funny? If they stopped right here, right now, Jeffries would be Speaker of the House.
Really?
Farragon.
By one vote.
Jeffries. Buck.
Buck.
Buck. Cardenas. Jeffries.
This is interesting. A whole bunch of missing Republicans.
Cuellar. Jeffries. Davidson. McCarthy. Donalds. Donalds.
No, Byron voted for himself, even though he's not on the ballot.
Wow.
Fallon. McCarthy.
He's a first term. You know, he's only starting his second term. Byron Donalds is going to be shit.
McCarthy. Gomez. Jeffries.
He may find out how good his good white friends are. Republican friends.
See, this is when he finds out that you're really black there, bro.
Graves of Louisiana. McCarthy. Hearn. McCarthy.
Hearn was nominated. Hearn voted for McCarthy.
Hill. McCarthy.
Oh, hell.
Joyce of Ohio.
There's McCarthy. Spurts. She still looks like she, rides bicycles in tornadoes.
Kelly of Pennsylvania. McCarthy. Kilmer. Jeffries.
So that's 21 votes for somebody besides McCarthy now.
McCarthy. Turner.
So this will be 11 that he's lost.
Lee of Nevada. Jeffries. Lesko. McCarthy. Letlow. McCarthy.
McCarthy.
Oh, and by the way, we got about $200 to go fundraising for this evening. And I got to buy a new chair. That's going to be fun.
Moore of Utah. McCarthy.
I don't want to see what happens after this vote. If they decide that they want their dinner, or do they want to do this again?
Schiff. Jeffries.
Yeah, because what time is it there now?
Well, this is the 12th speaker vote possible tonight. It's 7:30 in D.C.
Present.
Ah, there is Victoria Spertz, the woman who rides bicycles in tornadoes, voting present again. So now this is 22 votes. Up for up one.
Williams of New York. McCarthy.
Here's David Cicilline talking with the leadership.
If there are any members-elect who did not answer the call of the roll, they may come to the well and vote at this time.
Put the tally back up, C-SPAN.
You got one job, C-SPAN. One job.
Have you ever had the mac and cheese, though, from the house cafeteria? Might miss a vote for that shit.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's good. It's got like ricotta. It's got like ricotta or something mixed in, and so it's all creamy and wonderful in the middle, and it's got that baked over golden cheddar whatever blend going on top that's all brown and bubbly.
Ooh.
In this hour, the Hill newspaper reads, it appears Representative Kevin McCarthy, Republican of California, is on track for a historic 11th defeat. On track.
Oh, for 11, y'all.
Has not been announced yet. What is happening behind the scenes? Jake Sherman of Punch Bowl News tweeting out, House Republicans pushing to elect a speaker tonight per sources involved in the talks. A deal is cut. Either it moves people or Kevin McCarthy is in serious trouble. Lawmakers are reviewing it. The House could recess to allow discussion. So that is happening on and off.
Well, I think we'll stay with it then.
On this 11th ballot, you probably saw Florida Republican Matt Gaetz officially nominate the former President Donald Trump as Speaker. He said in his remarks, I nominate President Trump because we must make our country great again, and he can start by making the House of Representatives great again. Max Cohen, who writes for Punch Bowl News, has a quote from Patrick McHenry, who is a McCarthy ally and has been negotiating with those 20 holdouts. Quote, each meeting is more positive than the last. He adds that the goal is to get a speaker tonight. And then you have Meredith Lee Hill of Politico with this report. I asked Eli Crane, one of those 20 objectors to Kevin McCarthy, if he's been presented with a deal. Quote, no, he said. Quote, I'm not looking for a deal. Leadership knows where I'm at.
And that, it just gets worse. He's working the room. There he is talking to David Cicilline, standing next to Joe Neguse. They're a gang of fuck-ups. I just want to see if they're going to move to a 12th vote or if they're going to move to adjourn.
You've been seeing Republicans cross the aisle over to the Democratic side. It looks like talks are happening between the two sides. Who knows what it is that they are talking about?
Possibly, the macaroni and cheese, believe
possibly
me.
A deal to adjourn tonight. You can see the huddles. There's Hakeem Jeffries, the Democratic leader, huddling
out there playing
with his fellow Democrats on his side. You saw Matt Gaetz, a Florida Republican, cross over and talk to some Democrats.
What?
No, I'm watching, and there's some confabulating going on amongst the Congressional Black Caucus.
What they are hearing from lawmakers on and off the floor.
This is wow.
Yeah. I mean, they're just moving. Well. There's kind of a liminal space after the votes are done. They have to take time to check and recheck, and then they announce the official tally.
Right.
And the new Dem leadership is hanging together. Everywhere Hakeem Jeffries goes, his team follows. So I'd say they are considerably a hell of a lot more organized than these clowns who can't shoot straight, who are just eager to get to work and start, you know, fucking America.
Yeah.
Oh, and Darlene said, my understanding is that the Congress critters are getting paid. They always take care of themselves first. Yeah, the critters get paid. It's the staff that gets fucked.
It's the staff. That part, you know, the every day, you know, I love every, you know, everyday people. Oh, did you see the, you know, on a happy note, and I drove by, I didn't stop at Randy's Donuts, but I took a picture of the big donut sign. That's covered with the, you know, I guess you know who's going to be sponsoring the National Football Championship.
Tell me.
Did you see it?
No.
Huh? No. Open up the picture. I sent you the picture. It's on your phone.
Oh, okay. Hold on. Wait. Oh, no.
Oh, wait,
Adara
sent it to you.
No, I don't have it.
Okay, then who did I send it to? Ooh.
Hey, thank you, Ralphs. Ralphs has been playing a little game all evening long, kicking in $21 every time 21 Republicans fuck Kevin McCarthy. And that's brought us down $100 from tonight's $300 goal. There's $200 to go on that. Frank in Iowa says, how about the har, har, har soundtrack? Oh, Kenneth Copeland from a couple of months ago. I could use a revisit of that. I don't have any way to play it. I'll lose the audio of the... But that's a great idea, Frank. Randy Radar says, it's not that they can't shoot straight, it's that they can't think straight. True enough.
Right. But they should be able to, because aren't they supposed to be heterosexual?
Well, yeah, but the thing is, they're all being run by their lizard brains.
Oh...
And so there's one of the aunties is standing over there while Matt Gaetz is running his mouth. She got that pursed lips look on her face, that you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, she started talking. I wish I could read lips better. Because the look on her face is, what is this dumbass white boy talking about?
Again, if you were just joining us.
Yeah, that part.
Okay, there it is. Wow. 13, 14, 21, votes. While we wait for 212 to 200.
You can see on your screen, Lawmakers are crossing the aisle, talking to each other. Democrats
and now Steve Scalise is all shucksing around.
We just don't know what yet. Robert Costa of CBS News.
There's Jim McGovern in Massachusetts talking to Never Kever.
Negotiated and talked about Republicans in order to get those 20 Republicans to.
Hakeem's looking pretty happy.
In voting for Kevin McCarthy. As this is according to several Republicans. Rules changes, budget promises, committee guarantees, talks are fluid, but the framework to win over some of the McCarthy critics coming together as people review the top lines. Big picture, it makes the House Freedom Caucus central in the House.
Yeah, that's Berger, the thing. The fascists are going to run.
Tyler Olson.
Are going to run.
Henry, an ally
the speaker.
McCarthy. Quoted as saying, I actually feel I felt progressively better over and over the period of the last 36 hours. Every hour has been successfully better than the last. Chad Pergram also tweeting out from McHenry, the Democrats really are interested in keeping us on the floor, but we're still negotiating, we're still going on, and there's still assurances needed to take place. So there is a lot happening in the U.S. House off the floor tonight. In addition to the vote for speaker continuing on while we wait for the official.
That's kind of astonishing, though. This is 11 straight votes. No Democrat has missed even one vote.
One.
They've got their shit together.
Yes. This is. I'm looking at this article, I guess it was written yesterday. Jeffries has now received more lifetime votes for speaker than Boehner.
Yeah.
Like I said, Boehner.
That's what we called him.
That's what we call him.
And as dysfunctional as that was, by comparison, that was a tightly run ship.
Oh yeah. Did you get the picture yet?
No.
Okay, then there's something wrong with your internet or your, you know, but you do have Verizon, so that's
fine. No, I mean, I've got everything here. I mean,
that's weird. Because it's showing. I sent it twice. That is weird. It didn't say not delivered. Well, anyways, Dr. Pepper. So, you know, Randy's Donuts, there's the big
donut. Oh, yeah, Dr. Pepper, sure.
You know, and so now Dr. Pepper, there's a big Dr. Pepper signage or whatever, covering the donut. It says Dr. Pepper, and then, you know, they got 2023, and the zero in the 2023 is a football.
Something about them.
They say the Democrats are saying not to adjourn?
Yeah, they're saying they don't have the votes to adjourn. God, what a gang of fuck-ups. Yeah, but again, you know, don't blame it exclusively on the fuck-ups. The fuck-ups have fuck-ups back at home who fucked up in the voting booth and sent the fuck-ups to Washington to fuck up.
In the first place. That part, sis.
It's a forest of fuck-uppery.
The fuck-uppery is real.
Well, I just heard one of their chimes go.
Well, I think that's...
Oh, is that you?
That's me. I don't know if I told you, but... So the switch to roll down the driver's side window on my car is not working. And so, so I actually have to open my door to get anything like the drive-through, get my ticket to go into the airport, you know, shit like that there. And so I called my mechanic. to ask him about it, and he's like, oh, sure, it's just going to take a few days because, you know, the supply chain issue. I'm like, fuck. So now I can't roll down my driver's side window. I just pray to God that I do not get pulled over. And, you know, when the police come to my window and I'm like, I can't roll down my window, and I'm sure as fuck not going to open the door. So, you know, foreign family, and this is real. Please, God, pray that I don't get pulled over for anything.
Oh, Lord, no. Oh, and by the way, going back to the Bakersfield geography question, I had a note from Tamara. This is interesting.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Tracy. Hey, everybody. Tamara says, Bakersfield is a result of the Dust Bowl migration, so it's the Oklahoma part of California.
Right. Yes, I forgot that part. Yes. Yes, I forgot about that. So, yes.
Oh, and well, here, this is, we can have a little chuckle here while we're waiting to find out. Darlene added, they're discussing a motion to adjourn, apparently so. There's video of this, and it's out as, from out in California. And how's this for the goddess of irony? Bakersfield. Two men accidentally set themselves on fire after dumping an accelerant on a California Immigration Services building and setting it ablaze.
Oh, Jesus.
A Ring surveillance camera captured the two, and we know how they vote, right? Maggots dressed in black with masks covering their faces walking up to Servicio de Immigración in Bakersfield, California. The two men proceeded to dump the accelerant over the side of the building and parking lot in front. As one of the men continued to spread the fuel, the second squatted over a puddle of the accelerant and tried to light it on fire. The fire ignited violently, and the man sprinted away with his leg on fire. The second man panicked and fell down twice, and like his comrade, sprinted away from the scene of the crime on fire. The men could be heard screaming as they ran into the night. Not broken up about that.
No. Is that a Darwin Award thing happening there?
Meanwhile, wait a minute. Cowbell time. That's for Matt in San Francisco. Hi, Matt. Bakersfield.
Hey, Matt.
Oh, wait for this, Tracy. You might want, this is good. Bakersfield. Because the meth has to come from somewhere. Oh, I love that. Okay, Clark's talking.
Meth's
got to come from somewhere. Clark just pecked her pen. To call for a little quiet.
The tellers agree in their tallies that the total number of votes cast is 432. Of which the Honorable Hakeem Jeffries of the state of New York has received 212.
Cheering? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, cheering for Hakeem.
The Honorable Kevin McCarthy of the state of California has received 200.
Not so honorable. How much?
200.
The Honorable Byron Donalds of the state of Florida has received 12.
Yay.
The Honorable Woo. Kevin Hearn of the state of Oklahoma has received 7. The Honorable Donald J. Trump of the state of Florida has received 1. With 1 recorded as present. No nominee having received the majority of the votes cast, the speaker has not been elected. For what purpose does the gentleman from Louisiana seek recognition?
Madam Clerk, I move that the House stands adjourned until noon tomorrow.
The question is on the motion that the House stands adjourned until noon tomorrow. Those in favor say aye. Those
aye.
Opposed,
those opposed,
no.
No, you rotten motherfuckers, you stay right here. This is your shit show, you swim in it.
You get to swim in this shit.
In the opinion of the chair, the noes have it. The yeas and nays are requested. Those favoring a vote by the yeas and nays will rise. A sufficient number having risen, the yeas and nays are ordered. Members will record their votes by electronic device. This will be a 15-minute vote.
So now, we'll go dark for 15 minutes until we find out if they're going to get... And now this depends on whether or not the maggots, the 20 assholes... vote with the Democrats if the Never Kevers vote with the Democrats, they're going to stay at it and hit another lick on him. Wow. Oh. And you know what? Tracy, I am a total asshole. I've left somebody on the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hit him again. Hi, Tracy. Hi, Robin.
Hey, Dave. Hit him again, Gomez, and put a little stank on it. Shoot him in the back, Gomez. Shoot him in the back.
How y'all doing?
This is just magic.
A friend of mine just brought me a pizza so I could listen to the festivities. Like I've said before, y'all, they're still doing it. But as long as they're doing it to each other, who the fuck cares?
Yeah.
Woo-hoo.
Come on, let's you and him fight.
Oh, this is... Also, Dave, what kind of pizza did you get? Oh, it's pepperoni and sausage with jalapeno peppers, and I've got some sour cream to go over it.
Oh, that just... I don't get pizza anymore. That hurts.
Wow. Now, I've told you before, Robin, you take one meal a month... And you eat what you want. You're not denying yourself anything.
Yeah, but my birthday's at the end of the month, and I'm saving that day for that meal.
Well, but you know what? I learned this from a diabetic educator who was herself a diabetic, who'd managed her condition for over 30 years with no complications. And one time I told her, I said, I got so tired of sticking to the damn diet that I went out and I ate everything I wanted. I had a regular soda. I even had a big chocolate cake. And I felt like crap afterwards. She said, you probably learned more in one night about your diet than most of my patients learn in their lifetimes. She said, it's not a problem if you do that once a month. It's a problem if you do it 3 or 4 times a week.
Well, let's see. Today was some Wiggling Pig deli case meatloaf and some broccoli.
You got to be careful in those deli things too, because of the salt.
Yeah, I'm not worried.
It's just sugar.
Oddly enough, my sodium always runs low. Weird, isn't it?
Well, then you're probably okay.
I actually had pizza last night myself there, Dave. I went to Round Table, which is like my favorite pizza ever. And so
really?
I got
We're gonna do this to me?
Well, I'm sorry.
Why not? We need a little food porn in our line.
Yes.
Yeah, that part.
That's so what the meat. That's what the meatloaf and the broccoli were supposed to be.
No, sis, no. So
neither.
Round Table is famous for their crust, and it's thin crust, but it has a nice crunch to it, right? And so I got my pizza with pepperoni, bell peppers, mushrooms, black olives, and onions.
Oh, that sounds good.
Oh, my God.
There's a place in my hometown called Pizza King, and they don't do the sliced pepperoni. No, no, no. They give it to you in little chunks all over the pie. And they've been around since like 1921. I mean, they've been doing this a while. And I love what they call their royal feast. I mean, it's got beef sausage. It's got Italian sausage. It's got peppers. It's got onions. Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
See, they have, Round Table has the King Arthur. So it has pepperoni, salami, sausage.
This is deliberate.
There's just another one that begins with an L. I forget what it's called. Another kind of meat.
Liverwurst?
Fuck you, no. Liverwurst. Yeah, you can kiss my ass on that one. Let's see. What does it come with? Order. Okay, start order. So specialty pizzas. So the King Arthur Supreme, pepperoni, Italian sausage, salami, linguica, mushrooms, green peppers, black olives.
Linguica sounds like it's made out of tongue.
Yeah, it might be. It might be.
Might be.
And yeah, so it's pepperoni, Italian sausage, salami, linguica, mushrooms, green peppers, yellow onions, black olives on zesty red sauce.
Yeah, you know what I did? I tried one of those pizzas with the cauliflower crust.
Oh, sis.
No. Just no.
No, you poor thing.
Just no.
You poor thing.
It's depressing.
Robin, you need to learn to eat properly, but eat real food. You know, otherwise you're gonna just drive yourself nuts. You got to watch your portion sizes, and you got to watch all that. That's the problem with the kind of diet that I'm supposed to be on and that you're trying to follow.
Well, I'm motivated. I'd like to get back down around, you know, the dream would be an A1C of 5.5 and lose a bunch of weight and then not be diabetic anymore.
What?
Yay.
Well,
I've done it before.
Well, as long as you keep it under 6, you're probably cool.
And I got myself in a new brand new blood glucometer today, so yeah.
Good. I got a friend of mine that's got an implant in her arm that reads it, and she's worse about her diet than I am and wonders why she's always in the hospital.
Don't say hospital to me. Please.
No?
No, because got no health insurance.
Well, as long as you follow your diet and your doctor's orders, you probably should be good, girl. Don't worry about it. You got this.
See, this is the one that...
You got this. Besides, you got...
You know what? I'm sorry, Robin. See, you know, I'm sorry, Dave, for interrupting, but this is when I'm listening to these fuckers talk about, you know, the fiscal responsibility and all that and what we shouldn't be spending money on. And you live in a state, you know, this is how the difference between my state and your state. If you lived in California, you'd have health care. And more than likely, because of your income, you wouldn't have to pay for it.
Yes, I know. I know.
The fact that we live in...
But you live in civilization, dear.
I know.
You live in civilization.
I shouldn't be able to... We are all three of us are American citizens.
But it depends on which little independent fiefdom you are an American citizen in. By the way, Darlene in Connecticut adds, what I meant was a motion to adjourn might be what Matt Gaetz was discussing with Dems to cobble enough votes together to make it happen. And then, because cowbell almost fell off the Lowe's bucket there. Cowbell for Darlene. Matt Gaetz has got a one-night stand with which Luna to get to after all.
Just remember, Luna dear, make sure he pays on Venmo up front.
Yeah, and see if he might keep it private this time.
I'm wondering if Donald Trump left his Venmo on Matt Gaetz's thing, since obviously Matt's the only one in the whole damn country that'll vote for Donald Trump for Speaker of the House. And technically, they shouldn't be calling Donald the Honorable.
Not
the
anymore.
Honorific used for president. The honorific used for presidents and former presidents is Your Excellency. So it should be His Excellency, Donald John Trump. Now, he's not very excellent in my opinion, but that is the formal.
I'll settle for honorable, because we all know it's not true.
Well, neither is excellent.
Okay, it looks like...
There are...
Okay, Republicans have voted 214 yay on the motion to adjourn, so I guess that means that the maggot, the toenail clipping toothpicker caucus.
They're going to wait until tomorrow at noon to humiliate him some more.
There's an intimation that some sort of deal is in the offing. I don't know, but so they're done. So that means I can click away from C-SPAN.
Okay. I don't think they're going to vote for.
So that means we're pretty much
14.
We're done for the evening. Thanks so much. I'm sorry, Dave. I am so sorry. The stress line phone is tucked between a couple of pieces of equipment, and with me sitting here on this bucket tonight,
that's okay.
Messed with my bit. I guess I'm going to go out and try to find a chair tomorrow. Jesus. Let me check in over.
Well, if the search gets too much, let me know, and I'll see what I can do about sending my spare wheelchair your way. And then you can just wheel up to the console.
Don't do that.
It wouldn't be very comfortable, but it's got to be more comfortable than that damn bucket.
This damn bucket is not comfortable at all. I thought, I can do 3 hours. No. By the way, Will, formerly of Chicago, now of Southern California, says, Robin, I've lost 20 pounds since being out here in L.A. You can do this. But also, if you ever do get to L.A., I can recommend, get this, okay, Tracy, pay attention, a few pizza places founded by Chicagoans. They have deep dish, not tavern style. So, you ever had Chicago?
Deep dish, also known as the Midwestern casserole.
Yeah, casserole pizza. Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know what tavern style is. Oh, okay. Well, thanks, Brother Deacon Asa. He just sent some food porn my way. Let me pile on. Check out this wicked juicy prime grade steak I whipped up yesterday. I made it with Kinder's buttery steakhouse rub. Wow, it was something else. The thyme infused butter basting was what really made it sing. God, you know how to hurt a girl. Yeah, y'all just been piling on. I think I'm going to go and, I don't know, chew on some celery.
We're going to be very supportive of you, girl. Don't worry about it. Besides, you said the other night you had to start working on your beach body in January
right,
to get it.
That's exactly and, right.
You know, so start working out. That's, you know,
I'm trying to get there.
Maybe reorganize. Well, maybe just reorganizing the studio where you can get around without, you know, getting all clustered up and. Or just don't ask the cats for any assistance. You know how they are.
Yeah, well, yes. Yeah.
All right. Tracy, Robin, I'll talk to you all later.
Okay, Dave, you be good.
I will.
Enjoy your pie.
If I can, I won't get caught.
Enjoy your pie.
I will.
All right. Tracy, I'll see you, hon. You have a good night. Guess I already lost Tracy. So, thanks, everybody. Oh, let's see. Tavern-style pizza is pizza cut into squares with a crispier crust than New York-style pizza. It all sounds so good, one way or the other. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for putting up with me broadcasting live atop a Lowe's bucket this evening. I guess Friday, I don't know. We're going to have Friday on the front porch tomorrow. I just don't know if the circus will still be in town. As stinky as the elephant poo has been, I it's going to bum me out a little bit if these idiots can get their shit together. But anyway, thank you to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thanks, Ralphs. That's been a fun little game. Thank you. So tomorrow the fundraising goal will be $500. Thank you, to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you so much to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to... come back here. Here we go. Thank you. Thanks to Sparky. And thanks to Steve from Georgistan and Roger in Oregon. Thank you to our news ninjas. Hi, Gene. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, wherever you get the podcast, like and subscribe, and please leave comments so that it will make Brother Deacon smile. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. If the Republicans ever get their shit together, I'll let you know when we get the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, the AHEC Act, reintroduced, and we'll get back to work on that. It'll be 11 years that we've been working on it in this 118th Congress. Please stay safe. Get your booster. Get your flu shot. Wipe down your surfaces. Help stop the spread of RSV. Wear your mask. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Maintain your social distance, 15 to 20 feet, like Paul from Parts Unknown says. And, if some maggot comes towards you saying, no, we got to adjourn. I've got a hot date with Congresswoman Habanagila. Avoid that maggot like the plague, because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.